Is there someone here that's comfortable writing on the board? Because I'm not. Brother Doug, would you? Thank you. While he's writing that on the board, the text of our message this morning, we can turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. And I'd also share with you another couple prayer requests. Recently, just the other day, we had opportunity to interact with a nice couple, that Christian couple. And while we were interacting with them, they left the request with us of a little baby that's not born yet, has heart defects. And they're asking the Lord to touch and heal that baby's heart, that the medical community, when the baby is born, will be just amazed at what the Lord has done. That's good. And let's enter into that request. Then another was one of our county commissioners here the other day asked me, he said, would you pray for my mother? She's had COVID and she's got other health issues going on right now. And he asked that the Lord would just have mercy on his mother. I know she's getting up in years, not that old. You know, age looks a little differently to me now than what it used to. I think my age, I was old, but she's older than me. And ask the Lord to help her today also. Well, you see what I have written up there. Watch ye therefore and pray always. That text is found over here in Luke, the 21st chapter. And we're going to start reading here with the 34th verse. These are words of Jesus. And folks, I want to tell you, all the Bible is good. And it's good for our encouragement, our instruction, our sometimes our correction, and it's good for guidance in our life, but especially the words written in red and the scripture, those are high priority in my mind. And I think of the teachings of Jesus and what he taught his disciples, the early generation of the apostles and all the early preachers and prophets, those who took out the gospel. He gave them his instruction, and I believe it's important for us to be as close to what he taught and what his disciples taught as we can be, as we know how to be. I think the Lord would have us seek his face in all honesty and hunger and desire to let the Lord imprint his character and his doctrine, his ways upon our heart. So this morning, I want to read where we got our text from, the 34th verse of Luke, the 21st chapter. And he says here, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of this of the earth, the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Watch ye, I want to be accounted. I want to be recognized. I want to be one of those who the Lord looks down and says, and I never feel worthy in myself, dear ones. And none of us should feel worthy in ourselves. There should be a great humility of our spirit. But Jesus looked at us and said, humans just like you and I, and says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And God help us to all come to that place that we might stand before the Son of Man. Well, that is a central thought of our message this morning. But I want to go back now in the very first of this chapter. And then we'll come back to where we just read. Luke 21, the very first four verses of Luke 21, we're going to read those, and they don't, at first I don't think it really ties as much to the latter part as what it does here, but here's a scenario. Jesus and his disciples were there at the temple. So you think of the temple in that day, this was Herod's temple. Herod's temple was one that was magnificently built. You know, Solomon's temple had been destroyed. And then Zerubbabel's temple, that temple. And this was that Zerubbabel's temple that had been renovated and added on to, the best of my understanding, this is so anyway, by Herod the Great. He was a great builder. And this was a fantastic structure also. Huge building blocks. Things that would boggle our human mind to know how this was put together. Ornamented greatly. The stones were great. The ornamentation was, the carvings were great. It was something that impressed the human eye and the human mind, how it was structured. And so they were there at this temple. And they were looking at the situation. I'll just start reading the first verse. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. It's nothing wrong. Jesus didn't criticize the rich for the richness. He didn't say you have no right to the temple. He didn't ostracize them. That's not the point. But this woman was committed on a different level than all the others. This woman was, she gave of her very living. She gave that into the hand of the Lord. This was a different level of commitment. Folks, I want to step aside just a little bit here and say how valuable, how important it is, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to work together for a common cause. Such a wonderful thing to be able to come together and allow the love of God to be so entrenched and embodied within our heart and our purpose of life that we can share that love of God with each other as we come together, not only as a congregation, but as we interact with people in the world around us. God help us to be true ambassadors. And Brother Doug's prayer a while ago talking about some, Lord help us to be this type that we can carry the true gospel. The people around us. It's very important. One of the wonderful benefits of being able to share together as a common cause, we get to know each other a little bit better. We have opportunity to exercise kindness and the true graces of God that He would embed within our very heart. There's opportunities to exercise those godly characters in our life. With each other. And God would have us to do so. It's also very important to feel apart. When we feel disconnected and somewhere else. I'll use this example. You young couples that are raising your children and looking forward to what those children will become. I always thought it was extremely important that in whatever the family is doing as a unit, I think it's good to do it as a unit. Let me step back one more. When I was young, sometimes I got duties to do I had jobs to accomplish in the family, at home. And I didn't always do it well. I didn't do it as well as those who were older and had no more experience and knew how to do it well. But I was always given a job. And it's good because I felt a part. We work together as a family. We are part of that. And that should be also, that should come down to a congregation too. As we work together, we give of ourselves, you see. I give of myself. I'm committed to this. And God would have us to be, integrate that also in our training of our children. Sometimes our children can't mop the floor very well. And maybe they can't sweep as well. And maybe they do some things. And we could take the attitude, well, I can do it so much better. It's easier actually in the long run if I just do it and let them go play. They're children anyway. They are children. But God gave them to us to train. And it's very important, I believe, and I don't want to get over into child training right now so much, but it's very important for us, I believe, to learn how to do things, especially in a family, as a unit. And the child that first couldn't sweep very well or mop very well or do dishes very well or trim the yard, all those things come in. When we start doing it, we get experience and we learn to do it better and we have opportunities. Then as a parent say, all right, here we could do this a little better this way. You can train. And as a congregation, when we come together also and work as a unit, we feel there's opportunities of binds, heart ties that get bound together in that environment. That's so good and so beneficial. We're all a part, you see. We're part of this together. And maybe after it's all done, I said, well, I think I'd have done that different. And that's okay. They still did it. And we say, good job. Grateful you did that. And we encourage one another. Well, I didn't mean to step aside that far in this. But God, help us to be committed. To give of ourselves. Fifth verse now. And as some spake of the temple. Again, this grandeur, this structure of greatness, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. The disciples were standing there also seeing all this going on, and they looked at the structure. Said, my, this is wonderful. Look at this impressive structure. And they saw that, they spake of the grandeur, and Jesus answered and said, sixth verse, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That would be a little shocking, wouldn't it? If you were ordinary life, you were there and you were watching the treasury, people coming in and giving of themselves and giving of their abundance. You were watching this and looking at the grandeur of the structure, and Jesus says, the day's coming, this is all going to be taken down. And you say, why? That would be a natural thing in your mind to ask the question, really? These stones are huge. It took, how are you going to just knock this down? Be kind of like dismantling the pyramids of Giza. I think it'd be pretty hard. This is, Jesus said though, this is going to happen. The seventh verse says, and they asked him saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? You said something to me, and it's intriguing my mind, and when is this going to happen? It's here now. When is this going to happen? And since you predicted it, you have prophesied, you have said it's going to happen, we believe everything you said before has come to pass. When is this going to happen? And I would like to know the markers that we can see leading up to it. Tell me, what's the signs? What should enter into my mind when I see these things happening? What are the signs that are pointing toward this day happening? And Jesus said, 8th verse, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. They're going to make this proclamation that it's coming close. But go ye not therefore after them. So Jesus said there's a time coming. This point is going to happen between now and then. You're going to experience all these other detracting voices. They're even going to come in my name. And they're going to make proclamation and say, it's about to happen. He said, don't go after them. Quite interesting in my mind. How are you going to discern? Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, I am saying I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass. But the end is not immediate. Not by and by. It's not soon. So Jesus was pointing them. These things are going to be happening. You're going to deal with this. There are some things that are going to approach your mind. But I want you to see beyond that. It's not easy to deal with hearing of wars and commotions. Those are all troubling to our minds, aren't they? We live in a day today that have much of this going on, don't we? Wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things out there happening, and they trouble our mind. There will be, and there is a day coming, that all this that we live in today will be called into judgment. We believe that with all of our heart. And it may well be precursored by what we see today. Folks, let's be prepared. I think that's part of what the last part of this chapter is telling us. Watch ye therefore and pray always. I don't know the day or the hour. Jesus said he didn't know the day nor the hour. You and I don't know the day nor the hour, but I can tell you there's one thing we can do. We can watch and pray and be able to stand before the Son of Man. By His graces, by His mercy, God help us that though we should carry a burden for the world around us, but be careful that we're not overwrought and lose focus of the watching and the praying and the carefulness of life. 10th verse. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, or different places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you. But before all these things, I'm sorry. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings, rulers, and for my name's sake. This is going to happen to you. Who he's talking to at this time? He's talking to his disciples, wasn't he? To that generation. To those people of that day. His disciples. He was saying, this is going to be happening. Things are going to... He was pointing toward a day that sounded like he wasn't going to be there. You see, when he was here, all the other voices really didn't have much effect on them. But when he leaves, then you've got to pray. You've got to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. When he left, they had to hang on to what he had given them. and stay the course and be faithful. And in the middle of that staying the course and being faithful, they were persecuted. What do you think about Stephen? Brother Stephen had some real issues that he dealt with. Not only in his great faithfulness to the Lord and inspiration, he stood up and he began to tell the people about Christ. He pointed out their need. And they didn't like it. And Stephen took the rocks on his head, didn't he? And he died. But before he died, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne. There was something that greatly encouraged him, inspired him, and he died. But he died a faithful man. And he lives today. I'm confident that he does. I want to be able to be like Stephen and stand before the Son of Man. I want to be one of those that doesn't have to hang my head in that day. And I don't know when that day is going to come. And it may well be before Jesus comes back, and I believe he is coming back. Before he comes back, it may well be that many of us will sleep in the grave before then. At that day, God help us to be prepared, watch and pray, that we might stand. I want, when the Lord takes the breath from my body, I want to be one of those that can say, even so come, Lord Jesus. I want there to be a clearness of no business that still needs to be taken care of. Lord, help us to live up to date. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes, 12th verse, but before all these they shall lay hands on you and you deliver you to the synagogues, the prisons, be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Have a peace in your heart. Have an assurance. Know the one who is your king. They were brought up before other magistrates and rulers, and they were caused to give answers, forced to give answers, and the Lord said, don't premeditate. I think there can be a place in doing this that we get our human mind too much involved. It can take away our peace. I think there ought to be a place of resting in the Lord, letting the Lord take our part in all these things of life. Lord, have us to rest in Him. Not that we shouldn't have any forethought, but be careful how much carnal wisdom that we weave into our answer. We want godliness to be the central focus to all of our life and our purpose. We want honesty above all to be part of that. We don't want contrived answers, just human manipulation that sometimes weaves a little guile in the midst of our answer. Guile isn't what was found in our Lord Jesus, was it? There was no guile found in His mouth. And God would have us, as we carry ourselves through life, not to be one full of guile or have even guile woven within our heart. God wants us to be honest, to be godly in this present world. So He said, be careful, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And that's amazing. The Lord said, I'll be there with you. I'll be the mouthpiece. I'll be the wisdom. I'll be the supplier of your need at that time. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, just like Stephen. That's what he dealt with it, didn't he? Some will be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Stephen, not a hair of his head perished. You think of it. He was He was stoned to death, but not a hair of his head perished. All these disciples, all but John, died a martyr's death. And Jesus told them, not a hair of your head will perish. All, I believe we should understand it in this vein. There is none of your efforts, none of your willingness to give God all of your heart and all of your life, none of that will perish. All of your efforts for the Lord, God sees your need. God sees your effort. God sees the hair of your head fall. God knew when the rocks were landing on Brother Stephen, God knew there was a purpose of what he was doing. I think a little bit, and I have to surmise some of this because I can't prove it by the Bible, but the closest I think comes when Jesus was talking with Paul on the road to Damascus. He was called Saul at that time. And Saul fell before the striking, the light, the power of God that smote him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." I believe one of the pricks that was probably very sharp in Saul's life was this day when Stephen was being stoned and he received the coats of those stoning Stephen. He consented to that. And I believe that he saw the glory of the Lord on Stephen's face. Not a hair of Stephen fell in vain. The Lord preserved that righteousness, that glory. And not only did he preserve it, he built upon it by catching Saul of Tarsus and turned him into a great minister of the gospel. The pricks. God help us to live in such a way that not a hair of our head also would fall in vain. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. We quoted that lots of times, haven't we? Times when we felt like we were overwrought, felt like we were in a place to maybe talk to another person that they just feel like they've just got too much. And we say, in patience possess ye your soul. Maybe you looked at ourselves in a mirror and said that too, tried to remind us. And that's true. It's good counsel. But here Jesus was telling this to his disciples because they were going to go through trying times, difficult places. And he said, be faithful, be patient, be consistent. All the way to the end, in patience, possess ye your souls. 20th verse, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Here's one of the signs that he gave his disciples. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near, is nigh. Then let them, you see, Jesus is answering their questions now. When you see this, is one of the signs. When you see this happening, you know that it's near. Then let them which are in Jerusalem flee to the mountains. I believe it's recorded in Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, that this literally happened. And the Christians that were dwelling in Jerusalem had so heard, and this had been reported among them, these words of Jesus, that during that time when they saw this happening, they had been forewarned to the point that they all fled. They got out of there. I didn't live back there, and I'm just going to have to take Josephus' words for it. But I could sure see that happening. I believe that the Lord was forewarning His children. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. Just get away from Jerusalem at this point. For these be the days of vengeance. that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them. I wonder why he said these are the days of vengeance. Do you remember through tears what Jesus said to Jerusalem? As he looked over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings. But you would not." And he didn't stop there. He went on to say, "Behold, your place or your house is left unto you desolate." Talking about a place. Again, Jesus was a Jew. He's not anti-Semitic. Neither are we. Christians have never been anti-Semitic. But we are Christ-centered, not lineage-centered. And Jesus wants all his children. We don't have any beef against the Jewish people. In fact, we love, if you're here today and you're Jewish, thank God. Thank God. But it's not our bloodline that saves us. It's Christ that saves us. And he said, when you see Jerusalem encompassed, then let them which are in Judea flee. Where were the 22nd verse? For these be the days of vengeance. Again, vengeance wasn't necessarily just because they were Jews that vengeance came on Jerusalem. This came because they rejected the Messiah. That's the reason why the destruction of Jerusalem happened. And you can look back historically and realize that when the Romans came and surrounded, and the Roman, I forget his name now, the emperor that was there, that brought down the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD and also the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. They didn't come because they were Jews. That came because they didn't receive the Christ. Many Jews did. For these be the days of vengeance that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that are give suck in those days, for there shall be great desires, distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Don't have time to get in all of that or establish what all that really means. 25th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress and nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a mighty things happening at this point. I would step back just a little bit and just observe that in this time, prior to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, Christianity was being preached. It was being taught that their Messiah had come. The teaching was there, and there was quite a number that was rejecting that. There was a number that were receiving that. Both Jews and Gentiles were receiving this gospel. Powers, heavenly powers or ecclesiastical powers were being shaken. There was some real moving. And because the Jews still had the temple that was there, that was their center of focus, and that was the throne of David. This was the place that the Messiah was supposed to set up his kingdom. And that didn't happen in their mind like they thought it should be. Because that happened, God had to shake it very strongly. And he took it, the temple, all the way down. A fearful looking. 27th verse. And then shall they say, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I believe that there are certain elements of this happened back then. But I want to tell you, I believe as we observe the signs and the times we live in today, there's fastly coming to my mind a time that it's time for us to look up. Look up. Jesus isn't saying this to cause distress, to cause undue carnal fear, but he wants us to have a deep honor and respect for God. It's true when we look around and recognize the world and the environment we live in today and the rejection of God. There was a rejection that the people, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they rejected Jesus back then, their Messiah. When they rejected it, there was retribution for that. And I want to tell you today, I believe with all my heart, with the pervasion of evil that has pervaded not just America, but America is a hotbed of evil. When we see this happening worldwide, there are surely signs that remind us of the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Of the times, of signs that says, be ready, watch ye therefore, and pray always. This is not a day to be like one of the five foolish virgins who had become lethargic, had become listless, had not sought after the oil in their hearts, had not asked for that extra power, that authority that the Lord would have, and He has it for us. He wants His virgins. He wants us to be alive and active. He wants us to be passionate about the things. He wants us to be committed. He wants us to give out of our penury, out of our lack. He wants us to give our very living. He wants us to be so committed to this that this is my life indeed. And this is all. I'm banking it all on you, Lord. I don't have a little slush fund over here in the corner. I'm talking about spiritually now. I don't care about your bank account. That's between you and the Lord. But I am interested in your spiritual bank account. Are we banking a little bit out here in my own carnal desires of the world, just gratifying the flesh? God would have us all in for Him. Give our living to Him. Everything that we have, God would have us so invested in Him that none of these other things move us. None of these other things that would come by and try to attract us, those things would lose their power and their authority today. There's things that testify we can get involved with. And if we do that, there's thought patterns. I'm trying to be careful here. But you know the mindset of the world. You know the direction that it is promoting. And folks, God would have us to have great compassion toward people out there. But compassion doesn't mean we have to accept evil. In fact, true compassion would be standing still for what is right and still loving their soul. Giving them some gospel. And today, it'd be so easy because of the pressure, the peer pressure of the world around us. We would almost wish to assimilate in their thought patterns. God help us not to do that. I am a Christian today, and I'm all in. I'm not looking for another. I'm not looking to try to compromise. I'm not interested in trying to placate. I will love. But by God's grace, God help us to stand true and faithful in this day we live in today, that we might be the true light of the gospel. Though it may cost rocks to come upon our head, it did Stephen, but not a hair of your head will fall. Not a hair of your head will be fall in vain. God notices our play. He notices our desires for Him. And God help us to be like Stephen in this day. We don't go out and try to be abrasive or mean or cruel. That's outside the bounds of God's character and His holiness. But God would have us to stand firm and to be just as true and faithful, just like Brother Stephen was. He just simply told them the gospel. And because they knew it to be true, I think that there was something about that cut them in their heart. It came down very close, very deep within their very soul. And their reaction was a carnal reaction. One where they gnashed upon Him and they got angry. Jesus looked at His disciples and said, these type of things will happen to you. Why? Because we've taken on the name of Christ. I'm not like the world. And neither are you. We're not trying to be like the world this morning. We're trying to be like Christ. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, I want to be like You. And I have to acknowledge sometimes, Lord, that I wasn't quite like You today. Give me more of Your grace. Give me more of Your authority and power. Lord, I want to submit this part to You. I have found by Your Holy Spirit and Your working in my life, You revealed another place that needs to be submitted to the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I'm interested, Lord, today. I want to watch. I want to pray. I want to watch ye therefore and pray always. Oh, when I read that scripture the other day, that word always stuck out to me. I don't think the Lord intends for us to be under a strain. Say, I always got to go around with my head hanging down or live my life on my knees. But God would have us to be so so under the authority of the Spirit of prayer that's predominant in my life. We don't just give ourselves to just the works of the flesh. Well, let's go on here. I believe the Lord would have us. I believe when you read these scriptures, I believe He was applying much of this to the time back then, just prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. And it's centered and focused toward the destruction of the temple. Those stones had all be cast down. And all that did happen. But today I believe there's warnings we can take from this that tell us something about how we should conduct ourselves in this day. 27th verse, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. 29th verse, and He spake to them a parable. Behold, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When you see these things happening, you observe the tree. We, in this part of the world, as well as over in Jerusalem, they observe four seasons. They observe the fall. They observe in their climate, they have the four seasons. They have a summer. They have a winter. They have a spring. They have a fall. Those periods of changing. And when we watch trees lose their leaves, and it looks like the winter's coming on, and we recognize that it's close, and we see the changing of the colors. All those things are signs to us, and we can read them well. We've become accustomed to them. And in the spring, I notice some of the maple trees early when you get a few. The sun's been shining, a little bit warmer weather. You start seeing the maple tree. The bud began to come out quickly. Some of these trees come out early, and you start saying in my mind in the spring, I see that happening, and I'm looking forward to the leafing out. I'm expecting that. We learn to do that. He said, you observe these trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves, you have common understanding that the summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, when you observe these signs, these conditions in your world, you see these things happening. Because see, they had asked, when is this going to happen? And what are the signs? And Jesus said, now, when you see these things happening, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. 32nd verse. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away to all be fulfilled. I believe what he was speaking of there, it was things that were going to happen in that generation. They were going to observe this. They were going to see this. But it's a pattern that we recognize a pattern in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't we? I don't know what to make of all the scene there, but it sounded like God and two angels showed up to talk with Abraham. And God said, I came down here, we're going to see if the cry of Sodom is exactly what has been coming up to our ears. And they went down there. You know the case. But the reason why they came down there to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah is because the evil had so increased. Folks, I want to tell you, the evil is increasing around us. There are some signs that we should observe. There are some signs we should recognize. There's also some things we shouldn't integrate ourselves into in this world. Because when Jesus said, when he's got ready to leave, he said, the prince of this world cometh, and he was able to testify what? He has nothing in me. And God would have us to be, because he also said that the church would be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we're not. God would have us to live without integrating the things of this evil world into our hearts. The church is going to be without spot or wrinkle. Now, if we want to be like the world, the Lord will let us do that because it's our choice. He gives us that right. But he doesn't have to keep us in the church. The church is holy. The church is right. So when we see these things happening, behold the fig tree. We see all these signs. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's also quoted, a quote from over there in Isaiah, isn't it? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now we're back to the 34th verse of the chapter. And take heed to yourselves. Okay, talk to that generation, but oh, today, I believe if he was here, more than just the words we're reading, I think though if he was here, in the form that he was back here, and he looked at this congregation, I think he would say the same thing. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon us unawares. Well, life gets busy, doesn't it? Don't we have cares of life? Last night was the second night I've slept in my house. Still kind of camping out a little bit there. I'm not completely. But we're moved in. And I want to tell you, the run-up to doing that was a busy time. And I thought the other night, after pressing and doing this, I went over my mind, I haven't contacted this person, I haven't went and visited this person, some of your faces came to my mind, and I pray for you, but folks, it does a little bit more. Praying is good, but there's something valuable about seeing each other face to face. And all these things came to my mind. Some of that was kind of crowded out with the busyness that I was, the press I was under. And I have to recognize, Lord, help me to have my priorities in the right place. He said, watch ye therefore. No, he said, take heed to yourselves that at any time your hearts be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And the cares of this life sometimes can so dilute my focus, can so detract from the real purpose of life. And sometimes the Lord in His mercy just gives us a wake-up call and says, refocus here. Realign your purpose. And it's good for us to do that. I'll tell you how I felt after some of your faces and names came before my mind. My wife may have even heard me. I don't know. I kind of groaned once in a while. And I said, oh, Lord, help us. Help me. One time she came and said, what are you praying about? Well, I wasn't sure I wanted to tell her everything I was praying about. But sometimes when I kind of alone there, I ask the Lord for help. And the Lord help us all to do so. Because we need that touch of our Lord, of our good shepherd that comes along and reawakens and realigns and re-inspires and redirects our efforts, refocuses our heart and our mind. So Jesus says, be careful. And He would say that to us all as a congregation this morning. Take heed to yourselves. You know, again, our focus, we can think about, here's the signs and we're about coming down to the winding up of this whole thing. And we may well be. I'm not going to argue against that at all. But I want to tell you, I don't have to worry about it if I stay focused on Him. I really don't have to. I just need to love the Lord with all my heart. I don't need to know all this other. I don't need to be real informed with the latest theory of prophecy. I need to know the Lord. I've heard so many competing ideas of prophecy that my head will swim if I try to receive it all. But one thing we can focus on, our salvation of our soul with Christ. And oh, there's such a peace in that Prince of Peace. There's such a reality and a knowledge and a sense of looking up. I'm ready. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Whenever you choose, I just want to be faithful here, Lord. But He gave us some instruction. Don't be overcharged with the cares of the life when we're here. And I was thinking about Brother Michael and Sister Sarah today and all the efforts they've had to do the last few. And the frustrations, the wishing it was different. Why can't something go smoothly? We're trying, Lord. We're trying to do Your will. We really feel like You called us out there and hear all this. Now, He didn't say that to me. I'm just telling you how I know how I would feel if I was in that. And Lord, help us in the press of life. Every once in a while, just step back in attitude of prayer and say, Lord, teach my hands to war. Teach me how to do this right. I want to live for You. Oh, come again and bring, oh, Thou Prince of Peace, come in my very soul. Because I'm feeling, I think I'm like you. I believe I could testify for you too in this, that sometimes life brings us to feelings of just great frustration. And when you feel that frustration, that frustrated, sometimes you really don't feel very close to Jesus, do you? Lord, help us to step away from our frustrations and our carnal feelings and just get alone with the Lord and say, oh, Prince of Peace, come. Come and help me with life. And He does. For as a snare shall that day come upon all them. And I added, shall it come? I said that day. But what he's talking about, this future time. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. Back to our text of this morning's message. Watch ye. Carefulness. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Did he say, understand all the prophecies and make sure you have that right? I don't think that was in this verse. He said, watch for your soul. That's what I read this as. Watch ye and be faithful to the Lord. Watch ye therefore and pray always. I'm not opposed to prophecy. Don't give me, I don't want you to take that away from this. I'm not opposed to, especially Jesus gave this prophecy. That was true prophecy. But oh, sometimes many will come in my name, he said, saying here, they have their own prophecies. And Jesus said, don't follow them. It's not so yet. But I want to tell you the words written in red and Jesus, what he says to us in our very soul, that's going to be true. And we can live by it. And we can invest our all in it. We can be all in to this with Christ. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord help us each one to take that not as a as a dreadful thing, but as an encouragement that Lord help me today to not allow my mind to dwell on the things of this world, but help me to watch for my soul, to look toward you, because I must make heaven, and so must you. The stakes are way too high to be careless. The stakes are way too high to be the five foolish. To become complacent, uncaring, sleepy. I feel comfortable in our Sunday school lesson back there with the young folks. Young married folks. We talked about, it was mentioned in there, about Lot. I don't think the day they separated Abraham and Lot, I don't think the day they separated, I don't think that Lot felt like he said, I don't think he said, I think I want to be worldly. I don't think that was a thought of his mind. But he pitched his tent in this direction and he went down and he fed his cattle and likely he became very wealthy. He was a wealthy man in Sodom. But he ended up in Sodom. And it was noted, I think Brother Robert noted, that when they got down, Abraham pled for the city and he said, if you can find 10 righteous, would you spare? And the Lord said, yes, for 10, I'd spare it. And it seems notable, as Brother Robert pointed out this morning, it seemed notable that the effects that Lot had on his surroundings was so, at least ineffective, that they couldn't even find 10 of his neighbors, or perhaps even of his herdsmen. Think of this. Couldn't even find 10. The angel laid hold on Lot's and said, it's urgent, Lot. Get out of here. Lord, help us to have enough dedication and urgency about us that we're going to follow the sweet whispers of the Lord in our life. That we'll be careful, that we're watching. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Make that a central focus of your life. Seeking the Lord. In that avenue you will find grace. In that avenue you will find strength. In that avenue, you will find true peace. Be able to deal with the frustrations of life in a different vein. The Lord will grow His glory in your life. Pray for me. I want to serve Him too. We must make heaven.